Good afternoon. I remember an experience that was really not that long ago. I was working on a new project at Microsoft. And in this new project, I needed to work with a new marketing agency on some work that we were doing for a new product that was coming to market. So I was engaging with three potential new marketing agencies, and they needed to get information from me and then ultimately pitch me on their ideas. So I have these three new firms that I might be working with, and I have a new product that hasn't been announced at all yet. And I found myself in a little bit of a conundrum. I needed to provide these potential agencies with information about my product. Some of it had not been revealed publicly before, but I didn't want to reveal too much information at the same time. So I needed to involve them in my work, but I needed to find a way to share only the right information with these marketing agencies for the right amount of time with the right people. And I realized that the current tools that I had to do that caused a lot of friction. Well, what could I have done? Once again, these are external parties outside of my company, potential agencies. And I primarily had Word documents and PowerPoint files that I wanted to share, or share part of that. Well, I could have emailed an entire file to them, but what if I didn't really have a strong trust relationship with this entity yet? Emailing an entire file is kind of risky. Maybe you don't want to share everything. While it's email, you send it, and it is with them forever, and it's very hard to pull that back. Or I could do something like screen share with them. But then again, at the same time, screen sharing is a pretty binary situation. If I screen share, I can share the entire screen with them or nothing with them, so it's all or nothing. But I wanted to be much more selective about the information that I shared with them and for how long. So those things were very, very problematic, or else I could have used the snippet tool in Windows and carved off little pieces of images or little pieces of PowerPoint files and cobbled them together. This would be a lot of work for me. I needed a better way to involve them and share the right information at the right time. There is a better way, and we'll talk about that here today. That's partly what we want to talk about in the context of GigJam. GigJam is more than just a really interesting and quirky name. It's a new tool that we have available to allow you to spontaneously and momentarily involve others in your work in a way that makes sense for you. And if I had had GigJam in that particular scenario, it would have been much more flexible for me to give those potential marketing agencies just the information that was relevant to them that I needed them to see in order to get the work done. We'll talk about more about GigJam in just a second, but I wanted to step back and talk a little bit about some of the high-level changes in work that we're seeing in the environment. And many of you are very familiar with some of these changes that are going on. In fact, you're dealing with it every day. If you're in IT, you've got end users that you are trying to empower to be productive and collaborate with others. If you're in a business decision maker, similarly, you're struggling with how to make my end users the most productive, get the most out of their time. No question, it's a new world of work. We are dealing with, I think we're all dealing with, a spectrum of relationships. What do I mean by spectrum of relationships? That basically means that you interact on a daily basis with those inside your organization and outside of your organization with different levels of familiarity, different levels of trust. So I might be working with a coworker who's right next door to me, and I have no problem sharing everything with this person because they're inside the company and they work with me. So I have no problem just sending emails to them or sending whatever information I want. A high trust relationship. Whereas in the example I was just using about an external party, like a marketing agency, consultants, vendors, partners, it's a very different trust relationship. Sometimes I may have been working with them for a very long time, and there is a high level of trust, sometimes not. So how do you work across the spectrum of relationships that honor that relationship and put you in control of how you are involving them in your work and put you in control of what you are sharing with these entities, both internal to your company as well as external? Fluid networks, that's another way of saying our relationships are always changing, and the velocity at which they're changing just getting faster and faster and faster. The networks are changing, the relationships are changing, sometimes they're overlapping. Sometimes you have different people that are part of the same circle of networks. Co-working across boundaries, this is a big, big thing. And you find this in particular in certain roles or certain industries, such as if you're in sales, if you are in an executive or marketing or in the legal industries, for example. Examples in which you are often going beyond your company boundary in terms of working with others or needing to involve them in your work. At the same time, you're expected just to make it happen as an end user. Oftentimes, you're not told at how to involve others in your work. It's just an expectation that you will find the right way. But like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the tools we have aren't configured in a way to make that easy for you or end users. Spontaneous sharing of information. So this is a big change that we're seeing as well. More than ever, there is not a lot of patience to wait. Patience to wait for an answer. A patience to wait for someone to respond to an email. You want to be able to involve someone right now. If you need input, or if you need advice, or if you need to work on something, more often than not, you often want to get it right now, done right now, in the moment. You want to call up your colleague or your peer and get input on the spot, so you can close out on that item and then move on. So oftentimes, we don't want to wait for setting up a meeting for next Wednesday for an hour. You much rather have a mechanism by which to involve them right now and get your things done right now. That's hand in hand with on-demand input. The general notion of people don't want to wait anymore. And even if you've heard of the term the gig economy, in which there's a much more fluid workforce in terms of how they are working with others, the types of resources that they're making available on demand and on the spot. On-demand input, right when you want it. Quick huddles. Quick huddles is interesting. This is also similar with that notion as well. But you also see this reflected even in how companies are configuring their physical work environment. So it's not as common anymore even to have physical office spaces or individual office spaces, but much more likely to have open offices or open floor plans to encourage quick huddles. Once again, to remove some of the structure that has been put in place around the work environment and encourage on-demand huddles, people interacting, a more fluid motion, fluid interaction, and more fluid exchange of information. And I already mentioned this, instant action and closure, the drive to get things done quickly. So all this to say is that we are moving beyond the boundaries of some of the more structured tasks and structured meetings to a world when people are expected to work with others, know exactly who you need to pull in for the right information at the right time, and get it done quickly. At the same time, honoring the boundaries between you and perhaps other types of individuals you might have different trust relationships with. Oh, the last point on there was always mobile. We are definitely in a different world in terms of mobile productivity. I think it's fair to say that even up till now, mobile devices have primarily been used to see things or to consume information. I think even there, the expectations are changing to not only use a mobile device for seeing something, but also how can I unlock the opportunity to use my mobile device for doing things? So transcending beyond just seeing on a mobile device to actually doing and accomplishing things on a mobile device. There's unbounded opportunity in how we can better use mobile devices and the experience on mobile devices to enable people to be productive and not just see things. All right, so all this is to go is to say that's the problem. There's a lot of friction in the current process given the expectations and the pace of work. We need a new way to do it. We need new methods to enable some of these interactions. Some of the mechanisms I mentioned before in terms of how this is done today, a lot of habits and processes and even analog methods are used today to accomplish some of those things that I described. File sharing. File sharing is great in many circumstances, in particular for internal purposes, for example, or if there's a very... Good afternoon. I remember an experience that was really not that long ago. I was working on a new project at Microsoft. And in this new project, I needed to work with a new marketing agency on some work that we were doing for a new product that was coming to market. So I was engaging with three potential new marketing agencies, and they needed to get information from me and then ultimately pitch me on their ideas. So I have these three new firms that I might be working with, and I have a new product that hasn't been announced at all yet. And I found myself in a little bit of a conundrum. I needed to provide these potential agencies with information about my product. Some of it had not been revealed publicly before, but I didn't want to reveal too much information at the same time. So I needed to involve them in my work, But I needed to find a way to share only the right information with these marketing agencies for the right amount of time with the right people. And I realized that the current tools that I had to do that caused a lot of friction. Well, what could I have done? Once again, these are external parties outside of my company, potential agencies. And I primarily had Word documents and PowerPoint files that I wanted to share, or share part of that. Well, I could have emailed an entire file to them, but what if I didn't really have a strong trust relationship with this entity yet? Emailing an entire file is kind of risky. Maybe you don't want to share everything. While it's email, you send it, and it is with them forever, and it's very hard to pull that back. Or I could do something like screen share with them. But then again, at the same time, screen sharing is a pretty binary situation. If I screen share, I can share the entire screen with them or nothing with them, so it's all or nothing. But I wanted to be much more selective about the information that I shared with them and for how long. So those things were very, very problematic, or else I could have used the snippet tool in Windows and carved off little pieces of images or little pieces of PowerPoint files and cobbled them together. This would be a lot of work for me. I needed a better way to involve them and share the right information at the right time. There is a better way, and we'll talk about that here today. That's partly what we want to talk about in the context of GigJam. GigJam is more than just a really interesting and quirky name. It's a new tool that we have available to allow you to spontaneously and momentarily involve others in your work in a way that makes sense for you. And if I had had GigJam in that particular scenario, it would have been much more flexible for me to give those potential marketing agencies just the information that was relevant to them that I needed them to see in order to get the work done. We'll talk about more about GigJam in just a second, but I wanted to step back and talk a little bit about some of the high-level changes in work that we're seeing in the environment. And many of you are very familiar with some of these changes that are going on. In fact, you're dealing with it every day. If you're in IT, you've got end users that you are trying to empower to be productive and collaborate with others. If you're in a business decision maker, similarly, you're struggling with how to make my end users the most productive, get the most out of their time. No question, it's a new world of work. We are dealing with, I think we're all dealing with, a spectrum of relationships. What do I mean by spectrum of relationships? That basically means that you interact on a daily basis with those inside your organization and outside of your organization with different levels of familiarity, different levels of trust. So I might be working with a coworker who's right next door to me, and I have no problem sharing everything with this person because they're inside the company and they work with me. So I have no problem just sending emails to them or sending whatever information I want. A high trust relationship. Whereas in the example I was just using about an external party, like a marketing agency, consultants, vendors, partners, it's a very different trust relationship. Sometimes I may have been working with them for a very long time, and there is a high level of trust, sometimes not. So how do you work across the spectrum of relationships that honor that relationship and put you in control of how you are involving them in your work and put you in control of what you are sharing with these entities, both internal to your company as well as external? Fluid networks, that's another way of saying our relationships are always changing, and the velocity at which they're changing just getting faster and faster and faster. The networks are changing, the relationships are changing, sometimes they're overlapping, sometimes you have different people that are part of the same circle of networks. Co-working across boundaries, this is a big, big thing. And you find this in particular in certain roles or certain industries, such as if you're in sales, if you're in or an executive or marketing or in the legal industries, for example. Examples in which you are often going beyond your company boundary in terms of working with others or needing to involve them in your work. At the same time, you're expected just to make it happen as an end user. Oftentimes, you're not told at how to involve others in your work. It's just an expectation that you will find the right way. But like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the tools we have aren't configured in a way to make that easy for you or end users. Spontaneous sharing of information. So this is a big change that we're seeing as well. More than ever, there is not a lot of patience to wait. Patience to wait for an answer. A patience to wait for someone to respond to an email. You want to be able to involve someone right now. If you need input, or if you need advice, or if you need to work on something, More often than not, you often want to get it right now, done right now, in the moment. You want to call up your colleague or your peer and get input on the spot so you can close out on that item and then move on. So oftentimes, we don't want to wait for setting up a meeting for next Wednesday for an hour. You much rather have a mechanism by which to involve them right now and get your things done right now. That's hand in hand with on-demand input. The general notion of people don't want to wait anymore. And even if you've heard of the term the gig economy, in which there's a much more fluid workforce in terms of how they are working with others, the types of resources that they're making available on demand and on the spot. On demand input, right when you want it. Quick huddles. Quick huddles is interesting, but this is also similar with that notion as well. But you also see this reflected even in how companies are configuring their physical work environment. So it's not as common anymore even to have physical office spaces or individual office spaces, but much more likely to have open offices or open floor plans to encourage quick huddles. Once again, to remove some of the structure that has been put in place around the work environment and encourage on-demand huddles, people interacting, a more fluid motion, fluid interaction, and more fluid exchange of information. And I already mentioned this, instant action and closure, the drive to get things done quickly. So all this to say is that we are moving beyond the boundaries of some of the more structured tasks and structured meetings to a world when people are expected to work with others, know exactly who you need to pull in for the right information at the right time, and get it done quickly. At the same time, honoring the boundaries between you and perhaps other types of individuals you might have different trust relationships with. Oh, the last point on there was always mobile. We are definitely in a different world in terms of mobile productivity. I think it's fair to say that even up till now, mobile devices have primarily been used to see things or to consume information. I think even there, the expectations are changing to not only use a mobile device for seeing something, but also how can I unlock the opportunity to use my mobile device for doing things? So transcending beyond just seeing on a mobile device to actually doing and accomplishing things on a mobile device. There's unbounded opportunity in how we can better use mobile devices and the experience on mobile devices to enable people to be productive and not just see things. All right, so all this is to say that's the problem. There's a lot of friction in the current process given the expectations and the pace of work. We need a new way to do it. We need new methods to enable some of these interactions. Some of the mechanisms I mentioned before in terms of how this is done today, a lot of habits and processes and even analog methods are used today to accomplish some of those things that I described. File sharing. File sharing is great in many circumstances, in particular for internal purposes, for example, or if there's a very high trust relationship. But if there's not a high trust relationship, or if you're going beyond your company boundaries, that can be very sensitive or even dangerous if you reveal too much by sharing an entire file that lives there forever with the recipient. Screen sharing, like I mentioned before, a very binary experience where you can show them everything on your screen or nothing on the screen. It's very hard to do anything in between. So you miss an opportunity to perhaps curate just the exact content you want to reveal. Here's another aspect that's interesting, is that if you are working with others and involving others in your work, both internally and externally, oftentimes those individuals may not have access to the same systems that you do. For example, they may not have access to Dynamics CRM Online or Salesforce, but you do. And what if you want to get input on some of the information in those systems? How do you do that today? It's very hard. I guess I could copy and paste that information and send it to you in an email and say, hey, this is the record in Salesforce. What do you think? Kind of clumsy. I definitely don't want to give you my login credentials for you to access the system. That would probably be a fireable offense and just a breach of the trust relationship of you holding those credentials. So what happens? Given all of this, given some of the manual processes you have to go through or the different tools you have to combine to accomplish what you want to accomplish, either you do that and you suffer some of the friction and the angst in that, or even worse, you might miss an opportunity to involve others in your work. If you do the mental calculus, and at the end of the day, you're like, you know what? It's just way too much work for me to use a snippet tool to reconfigure all of this into a new document, copy and paste and send, I'm just not going to bother. That would be a shame to miss an opportunity to involve others in your work, and we want to solve that problem. GigJam. Some of you may have heard of GigJam before. A lot of you may have not. But like I mentioned, GigJam is a tool that we've built from the ground up to help you spontaneously and momentarily involve others in your work. In essence, give you the ability to pull in and curate and configure the content that you want to share or you want to get input on and share that just with the right people for the right amount of time in a way that makes sense for you. It's for people with a co-working mindset. It's for people that often work with a range of relationships and networks, both internally to your company as well as externally, traversing across those boundaries. We want it to work independent of those relationships. It's really up to you to define the content, who, and how you share that information. We don't want it to be constrictive, nor do we want it to be too structured. We want to leave it up to you to define how you want to do that. That's what GigJam enables. Involve anyone in your work, I mentioned that. You can show, share, or discuss in real time, or even face-to-face, or even offline. So in other words, there are different modes in which you might want to interact with others. My colleague might be available in the moment right now, so I can use GigJam to show and share right now. Or they may not be available right now. Maybe they're in a meeting, which often occurs. And maybe later on today, they can come back. I can share something, leave it with them. They can come back later and react to it. And then the information will go away or expire. And we'll show you what that looks like in the product itself. But that's up to you to define. And then ultimately, to be successful, we want to enable you to take instant action and drive to instant closure on whatever you're working on, or else it's kind of an unsatisfactory experience. If you do all this work, but you don't get the input you need, nor can you get closure. All right, so GigJam is actually a product that has been in public preview since the June timeframe. So definitely, one of the key things I'd encourage you to do is go to our website at microsoft.com/GigJam and download the experiences. We have it for Windows, we have it for Mac OS X, and we have it for iOS as well. Those are what's available in the preview. And we definitely want you, We definitely want you to play with the product, understand how the product works. We are doing a lot to understand and listen to customer feedback in terms of the key scenarios that you are unlocking with GigJam, how you are using it on a day-to-day basis, both on the mobile and the desktop experiences. Our hypothesis is that this is a great way to now start using your mobile device, not only for seeing things, but actually doing things. And as Ben will show in just a couple of minutes, in the mobile device, you have similar capabilities as a desktop experience. So you could have an entire session on your mobile device of bringing in content to share, configuring that content, curating that content, and then sharing it with someone else. And that someone else might be on a mobile device as well. So you could have a mobile-to-mobile experience where you're actually not just showing each other things, but actually accomplishing things on those mobile devices. But of course, the desktop experience is going to be very important as well, since we know that there's still a lot of end users who do have a fixed office, or at least are on their laptop or tablet device a lot. And this will enable that scenario as well. But we want you to experience the range of opportunities in GigJam and let us know through your feedback. So that was some general context of what the product is, some of the philosophy as what we're trying to solve for with the product. It's available now, and we definitely want to encourage you to go get it. And now we actually want to show you in practice. And what Ben is going to show you on stage are just some example scenarios. It's not the only thing that can be done. It's not exhaustive of every single thing. The thing about GigJam as a tool is that, once again, because it is up to you to define how you want to use it and how you want to involve others, there are an infinite number of possibilities in the scenarios that you might want to use GigJam and the types of content and information that you want to pull in and configure. So keep that in mind as well. Okay, with that being said, I'm going to invite Ben up on stage, and he's going to walk you through some of the experiences.
Good afternoon, everybody. Who wants to see some demos? Yeah? All right, I got some demos. Good. Step one, All right, so far so good. So I'm going to walk you through a couple of scenarios right now. Use your imaginations with me, if you could. Imagine that we're here in a startup event, and the screen on the left is an angel investor, and the iPhone here on the right is a startup co-founder who's looking for some investment. And maybe these two folks have run into each other before, and they're meeting again. And last time, the co-founder noted, the angel was like, hey, you were looking for a technical lead. Were you able to find anybody? And the co-founder says, actually, I did have somebody in mind. Why don't I show you the resume? So they keep the resume here in Dropbox. So I'm just going to go into Dropbox and open that resume. And then what I can do is simply open it in GigJam. Now, truth be told, maybe you could show the angel the phone, but I don't know about you, if I'm in a business setting, I might not be totally comfortable just being like, here's my cell phone. I don't know exactly who's going to text me what when, and I'm looking for an investment. So that might not be the best idea in the world. With this way, I can actually control exactly what I'm going to share. So here, I'm going to go ahead and circle that. For example, last time I showed somebody a resume, I actually lost that candidate because, you know, poaching, right? So what I can do is just draw a little X and hide the name. And I can scroll down. Actually, I can hide more information, maybe if I wanted to hide this volunteering information, to keep the conversation focused. I can go ahead and share it with our angel investor, Evan, here. When he accepts that invite, now we can see that I only shared what I wanted to share. And I can say, hey, take a look at this, check out this business experience. What do you think about this Prosware work? Say, that's interesting. But you know what? We're building a team. What are they like as a person? You know, would they have any volunteering experience? And I can say, actually, check this out. So information that I previously had hidden, because the conversation kept moving, I can show. So, okay, cool. It says, this is good. Actually, I tell you what, I've been working with one of our partners on a term sheet here. Let me show you that. So the angel can drag over this term sheet, and you can share it right back. So you can draw a nice big circle. That's how we share things. Circle what you want to share, then draw a little X over what you don't. Liquidation preference can maybe be a bit contentious, so we'll leave that to later in the conversation. I can share across. Then that startup co-founder can say, yes, very good. Let me look at the cap table. 10 million, I like that. And say, I'll get a chance to look at this later with a more durable copy, as Adam mentioned, right? You can email it to me. I say, yeah, once I finalize this stuff. So I can pull it right back. And now that copy is gone. They say, well, you know, while we're here talking, do you have any leads that you might need help with? I mean, that's one of the things about getting investment, is they can often help you. Say, actually, you know what, I do. I needed some help with one of my leads at Salesforce. Yeah, let me just show it to you. It's Abbott Insurance. Do you know anybody at Abbott? You say, absolutely. I know the exact person you want to talk with. Who have you been working with? You say, well, I've been working with Ross. And you'd say, no, you don't want to talk to Ross. You want to talk to Ann. So I actually shared the piece of work. So they can come in and say, not Ross, Ann. Can hit save, and I'm done, right? No email back and forth. I was able to send the exact piece of work over, and we were able to edit it right into my Salesforce system. So I got it done. So that's just one example, kind of that back and forth we're talking about. Let me show you another quick one. And you can see as soon as he left the gig, the information went away. So let's say I've got a marketing deck here. It's got some numbers, I want to share them. But there's part of this that I don't want to share. Say there's something sensitive about these Beijing numbers. Well, what I can do, circle what I want to share, and draw an X over what I don't. Now, that stuff's going to be hidden. So when I go and share it, I have three ways I can share this information. The first couple times I showed see with me permissions, where you could just see stuff, you couldn't edit anything. Then I showed you work with me permissions, where I was able to edit in that Salesforce record right away. We also have view for 24 hours. And this is that flexibility we're going to give you in terms of, let's say somebody's not available right now. So I go and share that. Maybe Evan's in a very important business meeting. He can't get to it. And later he'll come back around and be able to open it. Say if I were to leave the gig, go to a new gig, that doesn't stop Evan from being able to come in and view that information. I did in the wrong order. Let's try that one more time. Circle what I want to share. Oops. Go ahead and cross out that information I don't want to share. Give that view for 24-hour permission. Send it across. And now when he comes back to it, we can see that the parts of the slide that I didn't want to share is hidden. Because let's be frank, I mean, especially if this is a very real scenario, right? I mean, let's say this was a deck that my boss's boss was working, maybe he sent it to Chi or to Satya or something like this, and he wants to send me part of that information. We all know he's not going in to edit that deck, right? He's just going to say, here it is, right? With this, he can actually hide part of it without having to go in and edit that destructively. So there we go. And when I leave the gig, that information is still there for another 24 hours. Let's talk about one final scenario. Email. Write a lot of emails, right? Let's say that I just got a really important email from the CEO of my company here. And I want to respond to it right away. So I can open my Office 365 mail here. And it was an email about, it was opening an office in Shanghai, so I can just search for it real quick. And I'm going to reply to it right inside of GigJam. I can say, all right, we're moving ahead with the office. I need to suggest somebody. So I'm going to say, hi, Ross, great idea. He is the CEO. I recommend sending Kevin. But I haven't worked with Kevin that much. Well, I think he'd be good. I need a little bit of help building up the context for why we should send him. So similarly, I can circle that email. I can hide things that I don't want somebody else to see. And this isn't limited to the content of the email. I can like literally cross out who's on CC so he doesn't know who else, the person I'm going to ask for help, doesn't know who else was asked. I can hide things like the send button. I can hide the back button. I can do all this sort of thing. So I go ahead and send that over, giving work with me permissions because I'm going to want him to help edit this email. I send it across. And if we come on in, let's say, hey, could you help me out write this email? Yeah. You know what? Kevin G, great. He's worked the China account for 6 months. And you can see as I was typing on the email on the phone here, this is being updated in my email at the same time. So I can say, oh, dude, that's awesome. That's exactly what I needed. Thank you so much. And then I can pull back. I can say, I don't want to share this with him anymore. So he's gone. I've got my email. I'm still going to keep going. And I can say, from the privacy of my own office here, I can say, maybe for some reason I don't want him to know that I'm suggesting Liang as the alternate, right? He is the CEO. So I can go ahead and hit send, and I'm done, right? So this is a really powerful way because I don't know about you, but there's lots of times when you can do this already, but it involves literally breathing over the other person's shoulder. And as much as I love my boss's breath, sometimes I'm just like, could you give me a little space here? So this I could actually have him co-author an email with me, fire it off, and we're done. So those are just a couple of the scenarios that we're talking about here. where I can control what I'm sending, I can control how long it's there, and I can involve people in like the actual molecule of work and not like a back and forth email. I like to say that this is a really powerful tool for any time there's gonna be a lot of back and forth because you can just get the stuff done that you wanna get done right there. So yeah, those are a couple of the scenarios. Adam.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Can you go back to the connected sources and just speak for a minute about what we currently support in terms of connected sources?
Yeah, so right now, our vision is anything. Anything everywhere, right? If there is a REST service that we can connect to, I want to connect to it. Right now, we got your Dynamics, we got your Microsoft services, but you can also see here, we've also got Salesforce. We've also got, what's another good one here? I mean, Box, I'm a big fan of. Of course, all of the Google services, we also support those. Because our thinking behind this is we want to be where you're doing your work, right? My message of just get it done doesn't work if I can't get at your information where it already lives. So being able to connect to just about anything and a wide variety of sources is critical to us being successful in this. So, and you guys being successful in using the tool, which is another really important thing. So as you download it and as you start working with it, we've got an awesome user voice out there. We've got an awesome forums. Let me know what you want to use. Because if something's not here that you want, go upvote it on user voice, because the next set of connectors that we're putting out came right from user voice. So that's the way that you can get your stuff out there. And of course, coming sometime next year or after that, I'm not allowed to commit to timelines, of course, we're going to have an SDK where you can actually plug into other more specialized sources, even down to your specific company's data information.
Yeah, and the other reason I thought this was important is a lot of times when we talk about GigJam, a lot of people will just assume that you can only bring in Microsoft or Office 365 files or Office 365 information, whereas as you can see, our premise is, of course, we know that people are using Word or PowerPoint or some of the other Office file types, but we want to support a broader range of resources and information that you might be able to pull in. That's why this is so important. And just to summarize some of the concepts that you saw in the demo as well, so you saw, of course, the ability to connect to this source and bring in content that's stored in these sources. Ben also showed just the ability to drag and drop right from your local desktop or local file source right into the GigJam canvas. You also saw the ability to share and get input on a system that the other person doesn't have native access to. In this example, Salesforce. The party that he was working with doesn't have access to your Salesforce system, but Ben was able to give that person easy access to just the right information in Salesforce and get input on the spot there. And Ben also showed the ability not only to redact certain items, but to also selectively reveal those items as the conversation had progressed. So he might have started being very conservative and redacting out the things he didn't want to show, but if the nature of the conversation progressed in a productive way, Ben could selectively start showing more and more depending on what he needed to show. So that's a very important aspect of the sharing scenario as well. So that's why I wanted to point out some of those things. Thanks, Ben. So I'm going to cover a couple of other things, and then we're going to open it up for some plenty of Q&A, since I know a lot of you oftentimes have some specific questions as well. Customer success. So we are in public preview. We have thousands of customers who are constantly using GigJam. And as Ben mentioned, we have a very active user voice community. They're giving us a lot of input as to what they would like to see in the product and where they would like the product to go from here. We're listening very intently. These are just some quotes that we have that I like in particular that show some of the spirit of how our preview customers are using GigJam. The first one is poignant. When sharing your phone, you're always nervous about notifications since you don't know what they'll bring. But with GigJam, I can focus someone on what they need to know and nothing more. So this is a situation where if you want to show someone something on your phone, it's a little awkward because you don't want your Facebook notifications popping up. You don't want other Twitter notifications popping up. With GigJam, you can actually have that phone experience without worrying about weird things popping up on your own phone. The bottom one. I like this one too. At conferences, I'm stuck handing my device back and forth, worrying about the other person seeing something I don't want them to. It's a missed opportunity and not an ideal way to involve people. Gig Jam allows me to involve others while retaining full control. That gets back a little bit to what I was talking about at the beginning. Like, we don't want people to miss the opportunity to involve others, either because it's too much work, or they're afraid or nervous about revealing too much. So by putting the power in your hands about what you can carve out, the slice of work, or as Ben said, what is the molecule of work you want to share, it ultimately will hopefully lead to a successful interaction based on what makes sense for you. All right, a couple of comments on where we are today to summarize that and what we're looking at going forward as well. Like I mentioned, we are in public preview on Mac, Windows, iOS, so obviously iPhone and iPad as well. Right now, the app is in US English only, but of course, we will expand language support going forward, just a matter of time and how quickly we can get there. We do support multiple account types. This is something I forgot to mention earlier, which is actually very important. So we support Microsoft Work accounts, otherwise sometimes known as AD accounts or org IDs. So we support those types of accounts. We also support consumer accounts as well, Microsoft consumer accounts or MSA accounts. And we also support Google accounts as well. So there's multiple ways in which end users can connect to the service or sign up and use the service, which we're really happy about. You saw the information sources that Ben mentioned in terms of what you can connect to today, and we're looking at a lot of telemetry and data in terms of how customers are using it, and we'll expand that list of sources that you can connect to and bring in the information that you need. You can share real time, we talked about that. You can redact sensitive information, we talked about that. And I wanted to call out the last two ones in particular because these are capabilities that we just released last week or the last week and a half, which was the ability to leave information for 24 hours before it expires. So prior, which is, you could call that offline sharing, in essence. Prior to that, in the preview, to use Gig Jam, the other person had to be available right then, real time, on the spot. And if that other person was not available right then you couldn't really carry on the Gig Jam session. So it was a great start for the preview, but we knew there are other types of interaction we wanted to support, meaning offline sharing or leaving it for 24 hours. And so an obvious question we get often is, well, why is it for 24 hours? Why not 6 hours? Why not forever? So we'll get to that. We'll get to additional flexibility in terms of how long you want that information to persist with other people, hopefully to the point where you have the ability to define that. In some circumstances, you might want that to extinguish pretty quickly for some reason. Either you need to move on and get your work done, or because of sensitivity reasons, maybe 2 hours. I'm making this up. Maybe you want it to endure for longer than 24 hours. We'll continuously look at what is the right experience for how long you want that information to endure. And Ben also showed this in the PowerPoint example, a new feature, which we call image filtering, which is in essence for pictures, PowerPoint files, and PDFs. The ability to pull that information into Gig Jam and then selectively block out the parts of those images that you don't want to reveal to others. So that's a pretty cool capability we got as well. All right, in terms of the call to you to help us provide the best product for you guys possible, learn more here at our website, microsoft.com/GigJam. Download the public preview, as I mentioned. Try it on both the desktop and the mobile experiences. We have a really strong hypothesis that the mobile experience has a lot of upside opportunity in terms of productivity, and we want to see that played out and make that a really great experience. We have several scenario videos that I think are helpful. Ben walked through some of the scenarios live, but I really encourage you to look at the other scenario videos because this product, perhaps more than others, may not be similar to what you've seen in the past. And I think it's helpful to see some examples of how it could be used for inspiration for your own circumstance or the circumstance of your organization. So definitely look at the videos. Tweet us. We really would like you to tweet us and how you're using it. We get a lot of people telling us how they're using it or what they have just experienced on our social channels, which is cool to see. And as Ben mentioned, our forum. We read every single thing that comes into the forum every day, and we try to act on those. And additional resources. We do have a couple of blogs that are fairly recent. The top one is the most recent, as of 1 or 2 weeks ago. And the blog is another great way to get more detail on the feature, as well as more inspiration for other scenarios and other ways in which you can use Gig Jam. And here are some links to our YouTube channel and our video playlist as well. So definitely check out all of those resources. All right, so I'm going to invite Ben back up on stage, and I want to leave plenty of time for Q&A, so you can ask us about anything about GigJam, about how it works, what we support, or anything like that moving forward. And I think there's a mic both on the right-hand side over here as well as the left-hand side over here. So we'll hang out and wait for questions, or we'll hang out after the session as well. Thank you.
Who wants to know something? Come on. I know for a fact I didn't explain everything as well as I could have, so come on, there's got to be a question or two, right?
All right, also, I'll ask Ben a question. If no one else.
The question was, what's the feedback channel? You can go to, if you go to the website, microsoft.com/gigjam, there'll be links there to the forums and to user voice. I love the user voice because it's like quantitative data that I can be like, this people like more than this, because you can vote stuff. Vote for things. Thank you.
So as an admin, how can I see who's sharing what for e-discovery purposes or legal purposes in that sense?
Yeah, great question. So the question being is, so as an IT admin, how can I actually not only control what people are doing, but see what people are doing?
Yeah.
And that's kind of almost exactly the point, which is great, because what we're doing is we're continuing to build out features specifically for when you log in with your AAD credentials to say, first of all, I'm going to give you the power to enable or disable sources, even down to the entity level there for something like Salesforce. Because it might be appropriate to share something like a lead, but it might not be appropriate to share something like an internal kind of bug, something like that. And you'll be able to control that. And then what we're also going to do is add auditing and logging so that you can see who has shared what, ideally who has redacted what, and how they've done that. Because you want to talk about, you know, Adam was mentioning things like the different verticals that we support, legal or medical, eventually. Got to get through our HIPAA compliance first, of course. But when we do that, then it's going to be very important to have that log of who shared what and when. Because what we eventually see this as is we want to encourage people to share, right? That's what Adam's talking about when he's saying that there are missed opportunities. We don't want you to miss those opportunities. So we want to be able to log all that so you can go and see it later. So it's all coming.
But I will mention, at least in the preview time frame today, the toggle is on or off at the tenant level. And so it is by default off at the tenant level. So IT does have to go into their Office 365 admin portal and toggle it on. A lot of what Ben is talking about is definitely roadmap items as we go into the general availability time frame.
It's all in the future, but right now, yeah, you have that control. So, yeah.
So you demoed a one-on-one type of scenario, but can you do like a gig jam party where you have like multiple folks share data?
Question was, can I have a gig jam party? Absolutely.
Encourage it.
Yeah, no, yeah. So when we see here, let's say that I wanted multiple people, God forbid, multiple people helping me write a single email. Like here, let me switch over to this. You can see that I could select this, and on the bottom here, I could share with Lamont, I could share with Ross if I wanted to add, you know, more people to this or search for more people to share. I could do that. And then we'd actually be all together working on that same email. Indeed, there's another powerful scenario that we didn't quite touch on here, but which is pooling. So you saw that when I shared that information, so, you know, I brought up the Salesforce record, and I brought that lead, you know, from the iPhone back over to the screen on the left there. That's what we call pooling. So you can take multiple sources of information and bring them all together. So inviting multiple people in is absolutely bread and butter, for sure. I haven't called it a party yet, but I'm gonna, because I like that. Thank you. There's a question over here. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't just flip a switch and then have everybody just
going. Right. So there's two things. One, we're working actually with the first release people right now to make sure that as we start going into like the GA from a preview into that, we're going to be looking at using things like first release. Additionally, though, at the tenant level, you do have the control of being able to turn it on and limit what users would actually be able to access it. There's some AAD controls there. We're going to put out some instructions later on that, but it is possible. So we can talk after. I can give you my email and we can talk about that. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't want you to enable it for your whole org if you're not comfortable with it. Believe me, that is not in my best interest. Question in the back, yeah.
The permission, is it only on user level or is there a role that
Question is for permissioning, is it at the user level or is there something else? And I would kind of like flip that back around a little bit and be like, I'd be really interested to find out what specifically you would like to limit based on role. And that's something we could talk about. In general, right now, it is at the user level. This person can see this, this person can't see this. I'm not going to rule out, though, in the future that we'd be able to get that understanding of the organization. And that's something that would be great for like forums or user voice, or we can talk about. Because the easier I make it to share based on existing settings, the more you guys are going to share, right? So absolutely. What else? What else can I help answer? Right here. I'm sorry, what was it? Multiple gigs. Sure. So in the current version right now, you have the ability to switch between all of your gigs. You can do that. In the future, we're going to make this even easier with as we start moving towards our general availability. This is a piece of feedback we've gotten. But feel free to jump in and out of gigs. They stick around. So that's easy to do. Yeah. Do I have a question back over there? Right there, yeah. Yeah, the question was, is external people, how do they get in? I'd be doing a really bad job as a program manager if I didn't include the email thing, the invite. So, because then there would be no viral cycle, right? What happens is when you come down here, you can, if I select something to share and you add somebody that's not in the system. I should say right up front, what we try and do the best job we can of ingesting your existing contacts. So if you log in with your AAD, or you log in with your MSA, even your Google account, we'll populate this for you. If there's somebody that's not in any of that, you can go ahead, add it here. They'll get a nice email, just like in Skype, where it's like, hey, you've been invited to this gig. Join here. And it'll say if you don't have it. If you do have it installed, it'll immediately get you to the gig. If it doesn't, it'll take you to the download page. But yeah, now again, I have a very vested interest in making sure that's easy. But it's a great question. Thank you. Is it a follow-up down here? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the plan is definitely to make this part of the suite, the Office 365 suite. We're not announcing anything specifically around like the SKU plan and which plans it'll be in, but definitely we want this to be part of the family, so to speak. Right, when we get to that time frame, since it'll be part of that, it'll be follow all the same compliance measures and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, I like my job, so I'm making sure that it, yeah. Sure, down here. Question was plans for a web app. I'd defer to the same answer. I mean, I'm looking to get it everywhere I possibly can, but right now I'm focusing on what we've got. In the back. Sure. Question on compliance. So, how is it compliant? So, in general, right now it's a fully safe service on Azure. We're working towards compliance. It's not compliant yet, which is why it's a preview toggle in AAD. Right now, it's in North American servers. And before we do anything, you know, taking it from preview to V1, we're going to have all sorts of information about compliance and all that sort of thing, as the lawyers have been talking with me a lot about. So right now I'd say it's preview. When it is V1, we'll have tons more information about compliance and stuff like that down the road. Yeah, follow up.
Follow up on that. Do you envision, to your earlier point, that compliance to be specifically under the Office 365 umbrella, or do you think it's going to be more under the Azure compliance umbrella?
Yeah, I mean, as being part of Office 365, I am committed to making sure that it is at the same level of standard as anything else in Office 365. Again, I really like my job, so I want to make sure that that's totally above board. I think we have time for one more question here. Sure, right here.
What are all the sources of information that you can share? Is it just cloud data, or is it on-prem data?
Question is on-prem data versus cloud data? It's a great question, thank you. Yeah, right now, it's access to cloud services. But for example, let's just take email. Very acutely aware that lots of email services are on-prem, so we're going to have to get there on on-prem. Right now it's the cloud, but we're going to be moving towards on-prem, absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.